Oh, I don't need silver, and I don't need gold. I don't need the things of this world to satisfy my soul. But I need Jesus and all He can give. He's my salvation. He's why I live. And He's all I need when trials come. He's all I need when there's nowhere to turn. And when I'm in trouble and caught in the storm, He takes care of me. He's all I need when that time has come and I cross the river when this life is done. I fought the battle, the victory's been won, and He's all I need. Oh, I don't need fortune, and I don't need and I don't need fame. I don't even care if anyone even knows my name, because I know. How many can say you know Jesus this morning? And not so much that you know Jesus, but that Jesus knows me. Amen. And He knows me. And that's all that matters, for He is the master in my everything. And He's all I need when trials come. He's all I need when there's nowhere to turn. And when I'm in trouble or caught in the storm, He takes care of me. He's all I need when that time has come and I cross the river when this life is done. I fought the battle, the victory's been won, and He's all I need. I'm thankful this morning that He's all I need. We talk a lot about we need this, we need that, but really, when it gets down to it, all you need is Jesus. Amen. And, you know, you see a lot on the news about things going on in our society and things going on interstate with people, you know, arguing back and forth with people up to legislatures and teachers and all that stuff. And there's nothing wrong with standing up for what you believe in. But, you know, you fight for what God tells you to fight for, but then you get to the point to where you say, you know what, even if it don't work out, amen, Jesus Christ is all I need. And you know what He said? He said He would supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. And you know what? If you've been up there at the Capitol and all that stuff, you know what? They might tell you no. Right? They might tell you no. And you know what? That's okay. Because Jesus will take care of you. Amen. Amen? I mean, it might not be the way we think we want it, but He'll take care of us in His way, and His ways are so much higher than our ways. And I'm thankful that when it starts getting me and I start thinking that I know what's going on in my life and what I need, that He kind of pulls me back and He says, son, I'm all you need. And if you'll put your faith and trust in me, then it'll be all right. No matter, hey, you know what? The storms of life will hammer you. They will. You'll look and you'll say, man, Lord, why me? Why me? Lord, all this stuff is coming on me. And you know what He'll say? Hey, it's all right, because I'm all you need. Kind of like Elijah when he was in the cave. You know, sometimes I'm like Brother Justin. I feel like Elijah sometimes. Lord, am I the only one serving you? Huh? Amen? Lord, am I the only one? Because it seems like every time you turn on the TV that it's just sin after sin after sin. And see what we allow to happen in our country and in this world. It's like, Lord, am I the only one? Am I the only one left? He says, nope. You're not the only one, and you never will be the only one, because we've got brothers and sisters all over this world. Amen. You know what? That all they need is Jesus, and that's what they have, is Jesus. I'm thankful this morning. I'm thankful I have that hope that Jesus Christ offers. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God has made it that peace doesn't come by material things. Right? I mean, you know, there's been a lot of times, you know, where I've bought things and it's like, man, if I could just buy that right there, man, I'd just be happy. And it's kind of like, I don't know if it's buyer's remorse or what, because it's like, I'll go look for a pair of tennis shoes and I'll look for an hour and a half and it's like, and I walk out of there without nothing. But I'm thankful that, you know, our happiness on this earth is not... or should not be directly related to how much money we have or how much enjoyment or fulfillment that we have physically. And if you think about it, you know, that is an amazing thing that God has done for us, that He's made it to where we can enjoy life without having anything. Amen? Because, you know, if it took worldly things, if it took all the stuff that you could buy, if it took, you know, eating, you know, whatever food, whatever you, if it took all that stuff, then there might be some people that would never be happy. There might be some people that never have peace in this world. But God has made a way to where every one of us can have peace inside. And it doesn't come from anything out there. It comes from Jesus Christ. And maybe you're in here this morning and maybe you just don't have peace. I'll tell you what, I did spend a lot of years having zero peace in my life. And I can't think of anything more miserable than knowing when you lay your head down at night, man, if he comes back, where am I going to be? Am I going to lift up my eyes being in torment one day and looking across that great, well, there's no great divide anymore. But lifting up my eyes saying, oh, Lord, please send somebody to my family because I don't want them to come here. I was scared to death of that. And I'm thankful that God took that peace away from me, because that lack of peace is what drove me when He called me. That's what drove me to put my faith and trust in Him. Because, man, I wanted peace. I like having peace, Brother Darren. I like being able to know when I lay my head down at night that, hey, you know what? If we get nuked, or if I die of a heart attack or whatever, or Jesus Christ comes back, man, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay, and that's okay with me. Things don't always go on in our life the way we want it to. But you know what? If you got Jesus Christ, then you can look at Him. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Man, think about that, that when things go bad in our life and things don't happen the way we want it to, maybe somebody wants to cut our salary, maybe somebody wants to take things away, maybe one of our family members is not where they need to be with the Lord, to know that we don't have to do it ourselves. We can just call on Jesus. And know that He hears us. And know that we have the petitions of Him that heareth. Amen? I'm thankful for that. But I want us to leave here this morning, and I want you to be able to answer this question. Where are you seeking fulfillment? Are you seeking fulfillment spiritually, or are you seeking fulfillment worldly? All right? Because spiritual fulfillment will take you home. Spiritual fulfillment is how being a Casey can say, I'm going to see my daughter one day. That don't have nothing to do with money. There's no amount of money that they could pay. They can't stand at the gate and say, Jesus, I'll give you $1,000 if you'll just let us see your daughter again. It don't work that way. That's spiritual fulfillment. Spiritual fulfillment is knowing, you know what? No, regardless of what goes on with my job, regardless of what goes on with my family, I've got Jesus in my heart, and that's all that matters. And there's a peace that the Bible says that passes all understanding. I'm not even capable of understanding the peace that Jesus Christ has placed in my heart, but I'm glad that He did. And I wouldn't want to live a day, I wouldn't want to live a minute without it this morning. So, if you would, turn to your Bibles to John chapter 21 and verse 15. John chapter 21 and verse 15. We'll read a verse here in John chapter 21 and then we will we'll move over to the book of Mark. John chapter 21 and verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just ask, dear God, that you would bless your word as it goes out tonight, Lord. We pray that each and every one of us here, Lord, would leave here this morning, whether or not we're lost and saved or saved this morning, Lord, that we would leave here with a better relationship with you, dear God. We pray, Lord, that we would open our hearts and receive your word. Dear God, I pray that you would get me out of the way, Lord, that it, Lord, it's not about me. It's not about anybody else in here but Jesus, Lord, and what we do with the sacrifice that he made on Calvary, dear God. Father, we just ask, Lord, if there be any here that don't know you in the pardon and remission of sin, that you would deal with them this morning, Lord, and we pray that they would take that step, Lord, and serve you, Lord, as Lord of their life, Lord, and we pray for those, Lord, who might be backslidden, who might be downtrodden, that may be here this morning, Lord, that they would be strengthened, Lord, and they would seek, Lord, to be closer to you. Go with us, dear God, guide and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So how do we get spiritual fulfillment? And not worldly fulfillment. Because see, here's what we have. We have Jesus who goes to the disciples and he tells them, I want you to go into the world. And I want you to preach the gospel. And he gives them that commandment. And then all of a sudden, you know, Peter's just sitting around and he says, you know what, I think I'll go fishing. Now that's what Peter did for a living. Okay, he was a professional fisherman. All right, I know that we have some guys in here that might believe that they're professional fishermen. That you know, they'll go down to Georgia and all, but these guys made a living fishing. We're talking about what's that show? Deadliest Catch, right? That's Peter. Anybody seen The Deadliest Catch? That's Peter. Okay, it's just I'm gonna go fishing. And he goes exactly against what God or what Jesus told him to do, because he should have been out preaching the gospel. He should have been out telling people about Jesus. We have the same commandment from Jesus Christ that Peter did, to go out and tell the world about Jesus. Amen. Our job is not to go out and try to convince people. Our job is not to go out and argue the gospel to people. Our job and my job and everybody else in here is to go tell people about Jesus, tell people what Jesus did, tell people why Jesus did it, and then say, it's on you to put your faith and trust in him. And if they don't, then hey, you keep talking to them. You keep telling them about Jesus. And at whatever point they say, you know what, I don't hear that anymore. You know what, the Bible's got a solution for that too. It says, kick the dust off your feet and go on to the next one. Amen? I mean, that's what the Bible tells us to do. And so Peter's out here fishing. All of a sudden they look over on the shoreline and they see a fella. He's kind of motioning them. Hey, boys, come over here. They said, oh, Lord, it's the Lord. And so Peter, son, he just jumps right out of the boat and takes off. And I wonder why he did that, because it had to be that it probably would have been a lot quicker just to cut them nets and just drop a sail and go on down there. But Peter, he didn't want to wait. Sounds a lot like us, didn't want to wait. I mean, that's kind of that. Peter's a lot like that. And so they're sitting around, and Jesus has fixed them breakfast. And he looks over at Peter. He says, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? There's a lot of ways you can look at that verse right there, but I think Jesus looked at Peter, and he looked at that big old pile of fish that they brought in. He said, Peter, do you love me more than those fish over there? And that's a question we need to ask ourselves this morning. Do we love Jesus more than we love the world? Because I think Jesus was trying to get Peter to see, look what you're doing right now. You know, you're out here fishing when the real fish are not fish at all. They're lost souls. That's what Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So he's trying to get Peter to understand, hey, you know what? Your fulfillment doesn't come from them fish over there. Your fulfillment comes from your relationship with me, talking about Jesus, and your relationship with God. So how's your relationship with God this morning? Is your relationship with God, is your relationship with Jesus more the most important thing in your life? So, no, my kids are more important than me. Then you're wrong.
Amen. Uh-huh.
Well, my wife's more important to me than God. Then you're wrong. My husband's more important than... You're wrong. Right?
Amen.
I'm not getting on to you. I'm just saying, hey, look, and I... You know what? I was talking to Brother Danny and I believe it was Brother Terry about this Wednesday night. A lot of the times we read stuff in this book right here, and it tells us what to do and what not to do. And when we look at it and something comes up, we go, oh, you know what? I know a person that's just like that. Amen? I know a fellow like that. I know a fellow that acts that way. Look, this right here is a guide for us individually. So before we start saying, I know a person like that, I know a person that puts his job before God. I know a person that puts his kids before God. I know a person that puts his wife or his husband before God. Maybe you ought to look at you and say, do I put my job before God? Do I put my spouse before God? Do I put my kids before God? Do I put sports before God? Do I put television before God? Do I put fishing before God? Do I put hunting before God? And whatever it is you ladies do you put that before God? I don't know what you do. But instead of trying to take this book, because a lot of times we want rules for everybody else but us. Right? We talk about sports. I was a football coach. I used to have to deal with parents all the time. And we had a saying as a football coach, every parent wants discipline except for their kid. Anybody else ever coached a sport in here? Huh? Little Johnny skips practice. Little Johnny ain't playing. And then you got all kinds of parents up in the stand. That's right, coach. That's the way you discipline them kids. But then their kids misses a practice. Hey, little Timmy ain't playing. Well, that ain't fair. Well, it was all right when we set little Johnny down, but when little Timmy missed practice and didn't have an excuse, oh no, we can't set him down. I'm not talking about coaching here. I'm talking about how we try to take things in the Bible and we try to apply it to other people before we look here first.
Amen.
And we need to look here first and make sure that our heart is right with God. And that's what we're trying to get at this morning is your heart right with God? Is your relationship with God not just where you want it to be, because it ain't all about you? Is your relationship with God this morning where God wants it to be? Because a lot of times we'll think, oh yeah, I'm in a good relationship to God. Oh, okay, well when was the last time you told anything about what God's done for you? Huh? Well, it's been about 2.5 years. You can say that's the relationship that you're supposed to have, and I'll let you know. If Jesus come down here and say, hey, what do you think about that? Right? So is the relationship you have with God where He wants it to be? And it doesn't come from worldly things, and that's what Jesus was telling Peter. Hey, you know what? Your fulfillment ain't going to come from those fish right there. It's going to come from me. So how do we get spiritually fulfilled? All right, turn over to Mark chapter 8. How do we get spiritually fulfilled? We'll start in verse 34. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, this follows a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples, where Jesus is sitting there and saying, hey, who do men say that I am? Well, some of them say that you're Elijah. You know, some of them say that you're Jeremiah the prophet. Some of them say that you're John the Baptist. He said, no. Who do you say that I am? Now, if you want to get to salvation, that determines salvation right there, is who do you say that Jesus is?
Amen.
I say Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the one that watches over me. He's the one that protects me. He's the one that gives me every good thing that I have. He's the one that sees me through every bad situation that I go through. He is my Lord. He is my Master, and I do my best to serve Him, and I don't care who knows it.
Amen.
I don't care to say that I depend on God. And that's what Jesus is asking the disciples. Who do you say that I am? Now that's a question for you this morning. Who do you say Jesus is? Well, he's a pretty good guy. Believing that Jesus is a pretty good guy don't get you into heaven, and it don't attain salvation. He was a prophet. Oh, that must be like a step up from a good guy. That don't get you anywhere either. Well, he was the Son of God. Now you're getting a little bit closer. That's what John said when he saw Jesus coming. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Now you put your trust in that, and you put your trust in that right there for God to take your sin away, that's salvation. That's what it is. Amen. And so Jesus says, hey, who do men say that I am? He said, oh, they say all these guys. And he said, well, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father. Right? So now Peter, Peter's ahead. Right, he's kind of like one rung higher up on the disciple ladder than the rest of them. And so Jesus goes on to say, you know what? I'm going to have to go. I'm going to be with you for a little bit. I got to go die. I got to go give myself up. I got to go give myself for the sins of the world. And then Peter's like, oh no, Jesus, be it far from you. Oh no, you won't die. So the one that just called him the Christ, the Son of the living God, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Oh no, you won't die. So Jesus looks at Peter, the one who just declared him as Christ, the Son of the living God, says, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense. Right? So then Jesus, and I think that we kind of look at Jesus, you know, like this stiff, rigid guy. You know, and he gets, thou art an offense. You know, this ain't a Shakespeare play, okay? They were people. They were living life just like we're living life, okay? So I think after he tells Jesus this, he looks at all these people standing around and says, hey, y'all come here for a second. Come here, I want to show you something. Bring it up. Come on, hey, just come here, come here. Come here. He says, if any man will come after me, look, if you want this salvation, if you want to be right with God, there's things that you need to do. And he lays it out for him real quick. I mean, he don't write a book. He wrote a book about it. But I mean, just right here in this one verse, he tells us what we need to do. And the first thing he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. So if we want spiritual fulfillment, the number one thing we need to do is deny ourselves. Well, how do I do that? Well, turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Now we're talking about denying ourselves. It ain't all about me. It ain't about what I want all the time. Right? Because if we get too much focused on what we want, then now we lose focus on what God wants in our life. And so then we become the center of our life instead of Jesus Christ being the center of our life in us. Right? Do we follow that? Because we cannot fully please God unless we're willing to get ourselves out of the way and say, Lord, it's about what you want and not about what I want. And so many people, I think, don't have peace, and so many people are not spiritually fulfilled is because they can't just let go and say, it's not about me, it's about what God wants. Because a lot of times we won't do that because we are scared, slapped to death about what God is going to ask us to do. And we'll stand up here and hey, I've said it out of this pulpit, hey, be careful what you ask for. Right? Because God just might give it to you. Lord, make me a stronger Christian. Well, hey, you know what? Becoming a stronger Christian don't come without trials. Amen. Right? It don't come without tribulation. Iron sharpens iron. That's what the Bible says. We're like, I'm scared to death. Man, I don't want to give in to God because I know if I just become this... Do y'all remember when... what's the fellow's name preached revival last year? Yeah. Remember when he had that potter's wheel up here? Huh? He just started out and it was just... It was like mud, right? I mean, it was like, what in the world? And I mean, and he kind of said what he was going to do with it. So he just kind of, all right, is he going to make like a cup or a bowl or something or other? But he's just got this glob of clay. And he just slaps it right down on the middle of that wheel. And, you know, he's just playing this music and all, and never looks up. And all of a sudden, he gets done with it. And it's like, man, he made a pretty cool bowl. Right there. I mean, it wasn't hard or anything like that. But it was like, you know what? That clay started out as nothing. And that clay didn't stop him in the middle and say, wait a minute, I don't want to be a bowl. I'd like to be a cup. Laugh all you want to, but that's exactly what we tell God. I ain't up here joking around. We do that. Lord says, hey, I want you to be a bowl, and you stop right in the middle of it and say, no, God, I know better. I want to be a cup. It'd be better off for me to be a fork or a knife. God says, no, I want you to be a bowl. No, I'm going to be a cup. And then you know what happens? Because, see, God's got a little bit more power than what we do. Amen. Right? So God says, okay, well, I tell you what we'll do. We'll just see about that. And then he just goes, and just smashes the whole thing. Say, now how are you going to be a cup? God help us that he would have to do us that way. Just to get us to be obedient to him. Just to get us to be what he wants us to be. How many times does God have to break you clay to get you where it... Oh, he had to break me a lot. A lot of times, man, he would get like right almost to where you could kind of start to see whatever he was trying to make me start taking shape. And I'd act like an idiot and say, God, I don't want to do that. And then you know what he'd have to do? All right, let's take it out. Let's throw a little water on it. Let's get her back up here. Now it ain't nothing again. Now let's put it back on the wheel and let's start again. How many times does God have to start over with us in order for us to be obedient to him to say, you know what, God, you know what? I'm going to deny myself, and I'm just going to. Hey, here I am. Mold me. I'm the clay in your hand. But look what it says here in Romans. How do I do that? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now, what that means right there? They that serve the flesh, they feed the flesh. Right? They that serve the world go to the world for happiness. Where do we seek happiness? Where are you seeking happiness this morning? I can't tell you how many people I've seen come in this church house and they'll sit in a pew and they're like, man, they are really happy. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, there's something that pulls them out and it's like, oh man, I can be really happy doing that. Not the way it works. They that are of the world feed themselves with the world. But look what it says. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I tell you what, I mean, I'm happy around my wife and I'm happy around my kids. Come into a church service where people are praising the Lord and people are saying, Lord, I'm clay. I just want you to mold me. And see somebody come and give her heart to the Lord. I can't think of anything that makes me happier than somebody coming and giving her heart to the Lord. Why? Because I'm this great theologian or anything? No, but you know what? I got the Spirit of God. So what feeds me and what should feed every one of us here is the Spirit moving and not just works, not just things that happen out there, but the Spirit. It feeds you if you're walking after the Spirit. Amen. Are you happy here? And I'm not necessarily just talking about church, but are you happy hearing about the Word of God? I mean, do you get happy? I mean, look, you don't have to raise your hand. This is. Remember, it's not about, oh, I'm going to apply it to that one. It's about applying it to us. Are you happy when the Spirit moves? Are you happy when you see people get saved? Are you happy when you see people grow? I'm going to say this, and this is going to embarrass the heck out of him, but I don't care. I'm proud of you. Because about out of all the people in this church, and I'm not saying that nobody else in here has grown, I've seen that man right there grow about as much as I've ever seen anybody grow.
Praise the Lord.
Now, he's still a sorry sinner saved by grace. Amen.
Amen.
Grow because you got the Spirit, not because of anything in you, right? I mean, you say, well, how come you're complimenting him and putting him down at the same time? Because we're all sinners,
amen,
right? And it's just how much we want to say, you know, it was hard. What? You wasn't much on getting up in front of people, right?
Scared,
slapped to death. But I've seen him. And I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you. But you know what? We ought to look at people that we see growing in this congregation and say, you know what? I might need to take a page out of that book right there. You know what? Hey, I'm going to be obedient. Yeah, it might be uncomfortable for me, but you know, it ain't near as uncomfortable for you now, is it? What a novel concept is that, if we'll be obedient to God, that He will give us grace and get us over things that inhibited us when we started. And it comes with the Spirit. But look what it says. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, that means if the things out in the world is your priority, if that is a bigger priority than what God is, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. What's that last word? Peace.
Amen.
I didn't write this. This comes from God. You want peace? Then worry about this more than you worry about this. Oh, if I could just get that job. Oh, if I could just make X amount of more a month or whatever, man, that would just really just let me relax. And then I could focus on God. You hear how dumb that sounds? That sounded dumb, and I'm the one who said it. You hear that? Oh, let me get this worked out first, and then I'll serve God. You know, I read about some fellows that did that. Said, oh, was bidden to the wedding. Hey, I just bought a piece of property. But I tell you what, if I could go check that piece of property out, then when I get done with that, then I'll come to the wedding. You know what? The wedding's going to be over with by the time you get done checking out your property. Oh, I bought a couple of oxen, and I need to make sure that they pull straight. But after that, I'll come to the wedding. And then the one that I find the most utterly hilarious. Whew. Man, I got a wife. So after I get done with what she wants me to do, then I'll come to the wedding. You see that? See how bad that sounds like when we put things, oh, let me get this straightened out first, and then I'll seek God. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek, you know what the kingdom of God is? It's salvation. It's your heart. Seek to make sure that your heart is right and that you're where God needs us to be, and then He'll provide everything else. Does that mean that we don't have to work for it? No, that's not what that means at all. But He'll work it out. You know why? Because He's all you need. And then look at this last part here. Because the carnal mind, a worldly mind, a mind that cares more about out there than in here. A carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. Now I looked that word up, enmity. Ekthra. Echthra. Okay? That's the word enmity. That word means hostility through opposition. See, if you're here this morning and you're lost, you're hostile towards God. right? You're hostile towards God. Anybody ever been in a hostile situation? Like at any point in time, this person may knock my teeth out, or I may knock this person's teeth out. Huh? Aren't you been in situations like that? Hey, did you have a very good feeling about whoever you were in that situation with? You see that? So when we care more about out there, when we care more about worldly things than we do spiritually things, we are being hostile towards God. Right? I don't have to meet. He's like, well, I've never done anything to God for Him to feel that way towards me. You've never done anything for God and for Jesus Christ that would ever make Him think different. Now, I'm not, hey, look, if you're lost, you wear it. Because that's what the Bible says. The carnal mind is enmity against God. You know what? You're hostile towards God. I don't need to meet a person that is a Muslim jihadist to know that he's hostile towards me. Or that I'm hostile towards him. I've never had a conversation with him, but I see his actions. I see what he does when he straps pipe bombs to his legs and goes in and blows up malls. I see the results of his works. And if we are worldly minded and we don't mind the Spirit, your works show God that you care more about the world than you do him. That's what enmity is. And you know how we have like total opposites, right? We have light, dark, you know, black, white, heavy, light, and all that. Do you know ekthra in the Greek is enmity? Do you know what the exact opposite word of ekthra is in the Greek? Agape. The exact opposite. Now, we know what agape means, right? Love. And not just a love that you have towards your brother, not just a love that you have towards your mom and dad, but it's a godly love. It's a serving love. And so we can look that if agape is love and it's the purest form of love, and ekthra or enmity is the exact opposite, what are you saying to God when you don't accept Jesus Christ? What are you saying to God when you put the world first and you don't put your spirit first and your relationship with God? What are you saying to Him? Now that's on you. You deal with it. And it'll be up to me to deal with it if I'm not where I need to be. But that's what denying ourselves is to deny. We all have, because we're sinful in nature, we all have the propensity to let the world pull us away from God. But why? Because it's just the way we are. Right? He was like, man, I'm the only one that gets it. No, you're not. Every one of us face that in some way, form, or fashion that, hey, there are things that happen in the world that try to pull us away from God. But it's what we do with those impulses. Like, no. Yeah, you know what? I might be tired. And yeah, you know what? It wouldn't hurt for me to stay home from church. And that's all Satan needs is to get that foot just in the crack of the door and just start wedging in. Hey, you know what? Catch somebody after church and ask them if they know anybody like that, and you'll find every person in here. I can tell you people that have gone to this church that at one point in time on fire for God, you knew exactly where they sat. You could count on them standing up and praising the Lord. And then, hey, one little crack. Now, just going to church, that's not the only thing that you can do to spiritually feed yourself. Okay, I'm not saying that your being in the will of God is strictly based on coming to church, because it's not. There's a lot of things that we do to stay in the will of God. Well, what is that? What Jesus tells you to do? And I can't tell you what that is, because He tells each and every one of us different things. But I know that we need to get away from the worldly things and get the Spirit first in our life. Amen? Now, what's the second thing? Go back to Mark. If any man will come after me, first thing he can do, Or the first thing he needs to do for spiritual fulfillment, he needs to deny himself. Okay? Second thing he needs to do, take up his cross. You mean I'm supposed to die? It's not what that means at all. Take up his cross. You say, well, what's that mean?
Obligation.
The Bible says, for God hath commended his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? What did Christ die on? He died on a cross. That wasn't by accident. Because that cross is what Jesus used that lets me know that he loves me more than anything in this world. So now, what are you using to show God that you love him? Or is it just one of those relationships that we talk about, hey Lord, here I come again, I need something. It's not about always getting, it's about giving too. But turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 32. Now we're talking about taking up a cross. And each one of us can take up a cross. And that cross is also talking about trials and tribulations. Look, if you're here and you're lost this morning, I'm not going to promise you that it's always going to be smooth. I'm not going to promise you that it's always going to go the way you want. If you want to hear that, turn Joel Osteen on. But I'm not going to promise you that. And God didn't promise you that, and Jesus didn't promise you that.
Amen.
Now, we'll get into that in just a minute. But you just heard a man testify this morning, hey, since I've been saved, life has almost been harder. Brother Justin, would you change it? See, because it's not about what you face in life before you get saved or after you get saved. It's who you can go to about what you face in life. Because, yeah, I probably faced a lot harder things since I've been saved. Oh, but they're so much easier now that I can call upon the name of the Lord. And I can come in and I can ask my brothers and sisters to pray for my boy when he goes through surgery and know that every one of them are lifting his name up. And it makes it bearable. Whereas before, I was like, Lord, how am I going to bear this? I don't know how. He says, son, I'm with you. And I'm all you need. Troubles and trials are going to come. And that's taking up your cross. Because you know what? Those trials are valuable. Anybody been through a trial lately? Anybody come out of a trial lately? Are you better off now? You're. Say, well, I'm going through a trial right now and I just don't see that. You ain't going to see it until you come out of it. But he asked us to endure. It's what the Bible says over in 1 Peter. That the trying of your faith being much more precious than gold. Do you know what? Our faith in Jesus is going to be tested. That's not a rare thing. You mean Satan tries to get into everybody and tries to test their faith? And tries to get them to go back on their faith? Yeah. It gets tested. Iron sharpens iron. That's what we just said. My faith gets stronger when my faith gets tested and we keep our faith in Jesus Christ. It's just like lifting weights. Right? I mean, like, physically, if you look at what lifting weights does, when you lift weights, you tear muscles. Right? You injure muscles. And then what do? They come back. They come back bigger and stronger. But you know what you got to do? You got to keep lifting. If you don't, there's a thing called atrophy. And your muscles deteriorate. Our faith is the same exact way. You know, sometimes our faith gets chipped at. But if we keep our faith, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's what taking up our cross is knowing that trials and tribulations are going to come and seeing them. Hey, what did Jesus do? I tell you what, I'm thankful that he... Bible says, and he told him that he could have presently called more than 12 legions of angels to rescue him. Amen? Is that what the Bible says? Well, I'm thankful that, You know, I thought about this. Why didn't he just drop that cross and say, look, if y'all want to crucify me, you can pick that thing up yourself, but I'm going to walk on up yonder. Y'all can bring it if you want to. You ever thought about that? They were going to crucify him regardless of whether or not he carried his cross or not. They were going to crucify him regardless of whether or not he climbed up on that cross or not. They were going to crucify him regardless of what he said. But you know what he did? Through trials and tribulations, he looked forward. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are past, which are behind, and reaching ahead to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Jesus Christ's calling was? Was to go up on that hill and die for each and every one of us so that He could take my place and suffer the penalty for death that I suffered. That was His high calling. And I'm thankful that He didn't just stop halfway going up a mountain and say, hey, I'm done with this. Lord, take me home. And He expects the exact same thing out of us. When troubles and trials come, hey, you know what? I've noticed this about Christians. You ever notice that a lot of times when a Christian goes through a trouble and a trial, their answer to it is to walk away from church?
Amen.
Huh? Amen? Oh, they'll see I'm not perfect. Let me let you in on a little secret. We already knew you wasn't perfect anyway. Right? And you know what? I ain't perfect either. You might find this hard to believe, but I sin. Everybody back here is just going, I don't find that hard to believe at all. but we think when we go through something in our life, that maybe, you know, maybe a loved one's out doing something that they shouldn't be. You know, maybe they're out there drinking like, oh, I couldn't go into church because they know that my loved one was down there at Thelma's. And what are they going to think about me? We're going to think that we love you and that we all got sin in our life. And no matter what you're going through, we're going to pray for you and we're going to come and we're going to worship the Lord for you. And I'd much rather see you here with brothers and sisters who would like to comfort you than see you sitting at the house and then watch you fall away out of church and then watch your relationship with Christ deteriorate. But then you'll see, and this is what's amazing to me, is that bad things go on in lost people's lives, and you know what the first thing they do? They hit the door of the church. Yeah. You'll see them, they'll walk through the back door. Oh. Did you see who just walked in? Yeah. Spouse said they're leaving them. Oh, okay. Because lost people have nowhere else to turn and they think, you know what? Maybe if I come to church that I'll get a little bit of comfort out of it. But yet here we have the Spirit in our heart, and then when things go bad with us, well, no, I can't go to church. That's where you need to be. And more importantly than being in church, you need to be in that book right there. Because troubles and trials are going to come, but press towards the mark. That's taking up a cross. Now, third thing. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. And there's one last thing. Follow me. See that? Turn to John chapter 15. So he asks us to deny ourselves. He asks us to be faithful through tribulations. And then he asks us, you know what that follow me is? It's obedience. I've heard people say, oh, I've gone to church and all they want to do is tell you to be obedient. Well, what else is there? What else is there but to be obedient to God? So, well, why? Well, look at John chapter 15 and verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this. Well, I've heard that before. Read the rest of it. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We all know that verse, right? You ever read the verse that follows that? And ye are my friends if's kind of a big word, by the way. If you're reading the Bible and you stumble across an if, you might want to back up and you might want to read what it says before that if and then read what it says after that if. And you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So what's that have to do with spiritual fulfillment? I believe there's a lot of people out there that are saved that are out of the will of God. And you can think about that because I've been there too. I've kind of run the gambit here on this deal. And I'm sure that we can all look back at our life and say, you know, there was a time or there might have been a period in your life where you were saved, but man, you sure wasn't doing what God wanted you to do. We can all look back at that. Remember how hard life was then? Remember how tough things were? It was like, man, you just took L's all the time. Like nothing ever worked out right. Man, you just didn't feel right in your heart. You know why? Because we weren't following Jesus. Follow me. Be obedient. Do we see that? So we need to deny ourselves. We need to press through trials and tribulations. And we need to be obedient to Christ. We follow that? Everybody see that? How much money does that cost us? Did he ever mention anything about that? Did he ever mention anything physically that you had to do? Anything that you had to offer up? You know, the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. That means obedience is better than works, by the way. But if you're obedient, you will work. Does that make sense? It don't cost anything. And that's why Jesus says, if you turn back to Mark chapter 8, Casey, if you'll come and get us a song. See, Mark chapter 8, verse 36. This is the context that this verse is in. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Do you see that? Everything that Jesus says right there that we can do to be right with God, that we can be filled up spiritually, it doesn't cost a dime. And a lot of times we get so wrapped up in the things of the world, chasing money, chasing activities, whatever. And Jesus says, you know what I'm asking you to do to have peace, to be right? It doesn't cost anything. Because what, you know, what's it worth to own everything in the world when one day you're going to die and you can't take it with you? Look, I promise you, I believe that's what Job said. Naked came I into the world, and naked I shall leave. You ain't going to take nothing with you. So it don't matter if I would own the whole of the United States of America, I ain't taking it with me when I leave. And Jesus says, you know, don't worry about all that stuff, because it might profit you now. But you know what? What is life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, then vanisheth away. All this life is to determine where we're going to spend eternity. Amen. It's just kind of a landing spot on where we're going to go. So don't let the world, don't let getting worldly fulfillment, spirit or physical fulfillment come in front of God. Now maybe you're there this morning. I beg you, please, don't leave here this morning without having the relationship with God that He wants for you. Not that you want. Because there's a lot of people that have split hell wide open that lived life with the relationship that they wanted with God. So don't leave here with the relationship that you want with God. Leave here with the relationship that God wants with you. As you stand and as they sing.